Thank you, J.J. Weeks and Shane Wilbanks, for ministering to our students and family at our digital breakthrough this past weekend. And thank you, J.J. Weeks and your band, for leading us in worship this morning. Well, we're here. Congratulations, graduates, on a job well done. We're so very proud of you in this special season in your life. For the past several years, you've been a part of a great student ministry called Arrow. Arrow is a Greek word that means to be lifted away. And I'm grateful for our student minister, Ryan Appling, and his wife, Kayla, who have been very intentional partnering with families to prepare you for what Psalm 127 talks about, that you would be the arrows in the hands of a warrior. That's been our prayers. We've journeyed along with you and your family. Like arrows being lifted away from an expert archer, you are called to soar into the future with strength, accuracy, and purpose. So graduates, pursue your divine calling. Build your life upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Parents, when the final crate is unpacked, the last box of ramen noodles is given, and the final goodbyes are said, questions may flood your mind. Will they fly in the right direction? Will they fall short of God's intended plan? I want you to remember this right here. They were never born to stay in the quiver. You release your children into the hands of the ultimate archer, Jesus Christ. And together we will watch them make their mark on the world. As you are preparing to take flight, allow me to ask you, are you prepared for the journey? I mean, I know that you're excited to get out of the house, spread your wings to fly, but what confidence will you have when the stormy days of life come? They will come. The thing about storms is this: they come to everybody. Life is not always sunshine. Life is not always exciting. Life has its moments of tears. The strains of relationship come to everybody. The financial crunches, they come to all. Difficulties will come, but what will keep you from falling? Or how about this? How will you be prepared when all of your hard work turns into great success? And it will. We have a great group of graduates, and I know God's going to use you greatly. But what will keep you on sure footing when you're promoted, when you're given those great opportunities? Let me just give you a little life hack right here. When praise and promotion comes, it's a lot like cologne or perfume. Smell it, enjoy it for a moment, but don't you dare drink the bottle. It will kill you. You be careful. But I want you to know, friends, that the most important piece of advice that I could give you today, the greatest piece of wisdom I can share with you, it actually begins and starts with your foundation. Your foundation. Not your parents, not your grandparents, not your friends, but your foundation. You are building a life. Every ambition you cherish, every thought you conceive, every word that you speak, every deed that you perform, as it were, is a building block. Gradually, you are building the structure of your very life. Go with me quickly to one of the finest academic institutions in the entire world, the Ohio State University. We're there with Rave Zacharias, who was scheduled to give a lecture. And on his way to the event, we pass by the Wexner Art Center. As we pass by the Wexner Art Center, the driver says, "This is the art building for the university. It's fascinating. It is wonderfully built, designed with a postmodern view of reality." What's fascinating about that building, it has no pattern. The staircases, some places actually go nowhere. Certain pillars are supporting nothing. The architect actually designed and built the building to reflect how he saw life. It went nowhere. It was mindless, and it was senseless. But Rabbi Zacharias asked the driver, did they do the same thing with the foundation? And the driver laughed and said, oh no, you can't do that with the foundation. And what I'm saying to you today is, don't you do that with your foundation. Our foundation must be fixed. It must be steadfast. It must be firm. The real foundation of our lives is not material nor financial, but it's spiritual. If you have your copy of God's Word, please be scrolling to or turning to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, a converted tax collector by the name of Matthew is recording the final words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus has been describing two ways, two trees, and now he closes his message with picturing two builders in their houses. The two ways illustrates the start of the life of faith. The two trees illustrates the growth in the results of the life of faith. But here and now, the two houses illustrate the end of the life of faith, when God will call everything into judgment. So I want us to look at Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. Let's look at the Word of God together. Matthew 7, verse 24, the Word of God tells us this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came, the winds blew and they beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. They beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The two men in this story had much in common. They both had a vision to build a home. Both houses had beautiful chimneys. Both had wonderful bedrooms. Both had shuttered windows. Both had fresh paint on. They looked to be well kept, like two neighbors who lived next door to one another, whose families attended the same schools. But one was wise and one was foolish. Both hit by the same storm, yet only one stands and one falls, and great was their fall. Get this down in your mind and in your heart today. Jesus' story is teaching us this very truth. It is not enough to know what is right. You must do what is right. You saw what he said. You hear these words, these sayings of mine, and does them. That's a wise man. As a follower of Jesus, we understand we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. By faith alone, we are saved. But the faith that saves is never alone. I hope that came through the internet connection. While we are saved by faith alone, the faith that saves is never alone. It is not enough just to sit and watch and hear what God's word has to say. You must hear God's word and do God's word. You see, Jesus is pressing into obedience to God's will is always the test of true faith in Jesus Christ. The difference between the two builders and the two houses was not noticeable from the yard. The key is to understand that one does act upon God's word as an act of obedience, and the other does not act upon his word, which is disobedience. The wise builder, as the Gospel of Luke adds, he dug deep and set his house on solid foundation. That's a wise builder. Wisdom in Scripture is the ability to take divine truth and apply it to life. The foolish man in Scripture is not necessarily a person who lacks information, but the one who receives it does not apply it to his life. There's a failure to respond. The book of Proverbs is littered with this foolish person who hears but never responds. The difference between the two men is fundamentally rooted in the fact that the second man, the foolish man, was building his house for show. The foundation in this principle is obedience to God's word. Obedience, evidence of true faith. What does it profit, my friends, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, is what the half-brother of Jesus said. In school, from time to time, you have people audit a class. They're not really hard to spot. They're the most relaxed guys in the room. All they have to do is come, sit back, relax, take in information. When you audit the class, you can go, sit, get the information. Here's the thing, there's no outside requirements. You don't have to study. You don't have any test. All you get is the information. You don't have to wear the burden of the class. You don't have to carry the burden of the class. Many Christians are inclined to watch and audit the sermon. Oh, they go to class, they got a textbook in hand, they sit in their regular seat, and they listen to a professor, but all they want to do is really audit the class. They don't want to be expected to do the homework. They don't want to pass any test that God sends along their way to check their understanding. People will even pay money to take the class, but they don't want to have to meet any of the requirements. They also aren't expected to receive it. They don't expect to receive a degree. They don't expect to receive a degree, a diploma from the school. As long as a person audits the class, he or she will have no credit on their transcript. There will be no graduation ceremony, and nobody will ever hand them a degree. As long as you audit your Christian life, there will be no passing grades. There will be no divine recognition. There will be no experience of your calling. Do we have some watching even right now? You've been auditing the class. Your sermon notebook is packed full. But you'd be hard-pressed to demonstrate any true obedience before the Lord. I'd like the way Peter Lord said it. I think he says it best. What we believe, we live by. The rest is just religious talk. What we believe, we live by. The rest is just religious talk. There are too many of us who are hearing without heeding, reading without responding, confessing without changing, professing without practicing, worshiping without witnessing, seeking without ever really sharing. Those watching Jesus' sermon, as he concludes, as he winds down his Sermon on the Mount, they heard him finish about these two kinds of builders. You know who was there most likely? A man named Simon Peter and a man named Judas. They were both there. They heard Jesus say these words. Therefore, who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the wind blew and pounded on that house, yet it did not collapse because the foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the wind blew and pounded on that house, and it collapsed. And it collapsed with a great crash. Judas was there. Simon Peter was there. Two kinds of builders, very similar. They both erected a spiritual house. Peter built one, Judas built one. And had you looked at the two houses, you know what you would have said? I believe I would have noticed this as well. You would have said, Judas can really build a better house than Simon Peter. Judas, I mean, he can really build a better house than Simon Peter. Do you know who was the best man outwardly? Do you know who had the prettiest home? I don't think it was Peter. Judas had the best looking house. He did, didn't he? I mean, do you know what they did with Judas? They made Judas the treasurer. Now, who do you get to handle the money? You get the best. I mean, you get the most trustworthy. When Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," he says this in Matthew, Mark, and in John. And not one of them said, "Oh, I know who it is. It's that good-for-nothing Judas." Not one of them said that. They said, "I wonder if it's me. I wonder if it's me." None of them said, "I know it's Judas." Not one of them. You know why? He had a good-looking house. I mean, he had a good-looking house. He knew all about how to build a house. Almost. Almost. But there was a difference with Simon Peter. My wife's taught me a wonderful little phrase, bless his heart. Simon Peter, bless his heart. Jesus said, "Pete, who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "That's right, Peter, and upon this rock I will build my house, I will build my church, the very gates of hell will not prevail against it." Peter knew that. Peter was weak, just like I'm weak, and just like you're weak. He wasn't much of a house builder, but man, did he have a great foundation. He laid his faith on a firm foundation. One day a storm came, and it blew through the life of Judas. And a storm came, and it blew through the life of Simon Peter. And when the storm was over, Judas's house was gone. It was gone. And Judas died and went to hell. You say, did Judas lose his salvation? He never had it, friends. The Bible says that Jesus, speaking of Judas, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil?" The Bible tells us that Jesus knew from the very beginning who they were that would not believe. And that's in John 6, verse 64. Judas never had a real faith, but Simon Peter did. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, Satan has desired you that he can sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail." You find that in Luke 22, verses 31 through 32. Simon Peter had a faith, and the Savior interceded for him. You know, when the storm hit that old fisherman, Simon Peter, the windows blew, and they broke out a few windows. Did you know that those shingles blew off the roof just a little bit? Some things happened to that house. But what I want you to know, what I want to tell you this morning, is after that storm, that home stood. And because of that, dear friends, he became the flaming apostle of the Pentecost. And do you know why? I'll tell you why. It's because he just didn't know what was right. He did what was right. He had the real thing. He knew God. He heard the word of God. He believed the Son of God. He bowed his knee to Jesus. Weak? Yes. Failing? Yes. But the house stood because it was built on the rock. For years, I've kept in my study a great study Bible, a notebook, and I always keep a hymn book for meditation. I love to read how God inspired men and women to write songs of the faith. One Brit caught my eye this week. A lot of British hymn writers were children of pastors from middle or upper class backgrounds, but not Edward Mote. Ed was different. His parents owned a bar in London. Mote said, "My Sundays were spent in the streets. So ignorant was I that I did not know there was a God." He apprenticed to be a cabinet maker. Cabinet maker took him to church, where he heard of Jesus' love for him, the fact that Christ died for him and was resurrected for him, and Mote gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also went on to be a successful cabinet maker in London, in the suburb, and he was active in his local church. Mote wrote this hymn while he was working as a cabinet maker. I just want to say this, by the way, if you don't have to be in vocational ministry to be used by God greatly. Here's a cabinet maker God is choosing to use wonderfully and gloriously. But the chorus came to his mind as he was working, as he was walking to work one day. He put together some songs in his mind, and a couple stanzas came to him. The following Sunday afternoon, he visited the dying wife of a close friend. Moat didn't know exactly what to say in that very moment, so he just began to quote four verses of a hymn that he had just freshly written. At the end of each one of those verses, he shared what I want to share with you today. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Friend, let's build our lives upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know what is right. You must do what is right. Do you bow with me in prayer? As we bow, allow me in this space to just ask you, do you know what is right? What I mean by that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? He is the only one who can forgive you of your sins, save you from the great storm of eternal judgment. Jesus lived, he died, and he was resurrected so you can have forgiveness of sins. And you can have abundant joy. So you can have guidance in this broken world and be saved from an eternity in hell and have a home with him forever in heaven. You can be saved this morning. You cannot earn it. You can't achieve it. It's a free gift of God, and the Holy Spirit of God draws men, women, boys, and girls to receive, to repent, to turn from sin and turn to Jesus, to believe, to confess with their mouths that Christ alone is Lord. You may be sensing that stirring in your heart, and you say today, Pastor, I sense that in my soul. How can my sins be forgiven? The Bible tells us to confess that Jesus is Lord. Listen to me right now, friend. Right where you are, right where you're watching today, surrender yourself to God by praying, Lord Jesus, I know I've offended you by my sin. I need your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and took my place on the cross. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. And I invite you to come into my heart to forgive me, cleanse me, save me from all my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me, dying for me, and saving me. I trust you and you alone to be my Savior. And my Lord, in Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Did you surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus today? If you did, this is how serious it is for me, friend. I want you to text me personally, 770-490-4725. And all you have to do is say four words, I prayed that prayer. Or you can go to the response card link on this page and you can follow the template and you can just put in your information. Here's the point. We want to celebrate what God is doing in your life. This is our foundation, to know what is right, but also to do what is right. It's about obedience. Have you been baptized by immersion? To identify and demonstrate as no longer you who lives, but Christ that lives within you. If you haven't been baptized, click the link. Shoot the text message, and let's rejoice what God is doing in your life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for how you're moving. Even through the internet, God, I praise you for how your gospel, your death, your burial, your resurrection is going to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, I pray for those who hear the sound of my voice this morning, Lord, you would prompt them to obedience, that they would shoot the text message, that they would click the link, and Lord, we will rejoice in what you are doing in their life. Father, we thank you. Lord, we celebrate that you are out of the grave, and you rule and reign in our hearts. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.